And she was such a help and a wonderful nurse. In fact, she's a little too good of a nurse. She hits me with her best shot every morning. I have to take insulin. And that's something I hate. So she has to kind of browbeat me a little bit. But I am thankful to be here. I am back. Praise God. The cat came back and this cat came back. We're thankful for that. While I was in the intensive care, in fact, thank you for coming tonight. I wasn't sure anybody would show up because you all really know me. You know what type of an individual I am. Maybe that's why you're here, right? You want to check out, see if it's real. But while I was in the intensive care one night, it was later on because when I first went there, I didn't even know I was there, okay? But probably about the last night I was there, I decided that I would stay up. I would stay awake all night and watch these nurses, and I call them the midnight moles because they would do these transplant anytime, okay? In fact, that night, the nurse told me that there was a fellow who was going to come in, and he was going to be right next to me, and so I watched. And while that was happening, God kind of spoke to me about my liver and my life and my deliverance. Deliverance. Did you get it? It's deliver is the most important thing that you have, okay? And so I began to think about my life and maybe about writing a little story about my life. And I began to do a little study about deliverance in the Bible. Do you know who the first person was that talked about deliverance? You don't? Well, I didn't either. So I had to go to my computer and look it up. But it was the story of Joseph. And Joseph in Genesis 45, you remember, I think Cliff preached about Joseph, didn't he? So you know the story how Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery down in Egypt. And he endured great persecution and came through a lot. And of course there was a famine. And God kind of raised Joseph up through the Pharaoh to collect food for 7 years. And then the famine came, and Joseph's brothers also needed food, so they came down to Egypt, and there was Joseph. And Joseph recognized his brothers, and of course the story, I don't have time to tell the whole story, but it wasn't long before Joseph had his brothers in for a meal, and kind of made known, after a while he made himself known to them, and they of course couldn't believe it. And Genesis 45, if you have your Bibles here, Genesis 45, it says, verse 7, and God sent, Joseph speaking here, he said, God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And a deliverance is really a salvation. We've all, if you know Christ as your Savior tonight, you've been delivered. And you've had a second chance of life. That's what grace is. We're children of the second chance. And Joseph's brothers really couldn't believe it. I think they thought, well, you just wait till our father dies and then Joseph will get us. Okay, we deserve to die for what we did to Joseph. And so the old man died, and then Joseph's brothers came to him and bowed down and said, whatever you want, whatever, you know, we're your servants. And in Genesis 50, turn over to Genesis 50, verse 20. This is a great verse about forgiveness and about grace. Joseph says to his brothers, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about it as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. That's a wonderful story, isn't it? We all need to be forgiven. And if you've never been forgiven by God for your sin, you need to get down on your knees and ask him into your life and ask for forgiveness. But Joseph is a picture of Jesus. He is a type of Christ, the great deliverer. And Philemon and I would like to briefly tell you how God has been a great deliverer to us in our lives these past few months. Most of you said goodbye. Remember that goodbye many sunny nights ago? I came in a wheelchair. Did that look kind of bad? I mean, I looked old and frail. I was listening to it on the church website here. Just, I couldn't believe the story, but I, and we appreciated so much the scrapbook that you guys put together. We had that down in Pittsburgh and looked at it again. It was a wonderful thing. But I'd like to talk a little bit about the details of our deliverance tonight. You'll notice there in chapter 50, verse 20, "But as for you, you meant it for evil." There is evil in this world. There's sin, isn't there? I'm sure you've been confronted by evil and by hardship. And that's where the first thing that, in any deliverance, there's first a lot of pain. And Philemon and I both went through much pain. It was painful that night to have to say goodbye. It was painful to step down as pastor. You don't know how much I anguished over that. In fact, I had one fella tell me, "You retired too quick. You're already back. And you shouldn't have retired." And yet, I felt God called me to do that. And I really realized that Ange and Cliff had been sent to us to help us. We thought we were going to help them, and God kind of had a chuckle about that. Within a month, I was the one that was needed help. And but it involves much pain. I don't know if you noticed, but for a whole year, I was struggling. I didn't realize how much I was struggling, but many of you would come up to me and say, "Pastor, are you all right?" "Yeah, I'm all right. You know, I got it all together." Well, I didn't have it all together, and you saw my weakness and how frail I was. And I was sick. I was a sick puppy and getting sicker. I was weak. I'm still weak. In fact, I was just remarking to my wife, "You know those stairs to get up to this auditorium are long? I will not get in that elevator. I just made a thing. I will crawl up those stairs if I have to." But I am weak. I tried to mow my lawn the other day, and I got so shook up that it was, I'm all shook up. Remember that? Was that Elvis that sang that? "I'm all shook up"? I was all shook up. But pain and weakness. I remember in the hospital having spasms. My bladder wasn't working right, and man, I was in pain. And it would come about every 5 minutes, like I was in labor. You ladies remember that, some of you? Pain. And I remember in the ICU, I thought I was going to die. I got, I think my blood pressure went up, and I was gasping for breath, and they did an EKG on me. I mean, the nurse was concerned, and I was concerned. Deliverance, you are delivered from a struggle, from pain. You meant it for evil. There's a battle in this world, isn't there? Evil and good. And if you, I think being in this world, we realize that there's a battle going on. And we need to be delivered from that. "You meant it for evil," Joseph said, "but God meant it for good." I remember loneliness. You know, when you go into the hospital, you have a lot of nurses around, but there are a lot of lonely times. And every night, Philina, down in Pittsburgh, well, even in Syracuse, she'd have to leave me and I'd be all alone. And boy, did I hate that. Nights were so long and I had trouble sleeping. And I just, it was hard. You need a friend that sticks closer than a brother in those times. And I was thankful I had the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And he walked with me and talked with me during those long, lonely nights when everybody else was sleeping. So much pain. To be delivered means that you are delivered from something. And I'm thankful I've been delivered from a liver that was wrecked with hepatitis C. It also involves basically a plan. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God had a plan, didn't he, for Joseph? And God had a plan for Philina and I. He had a path for us. And Philina's going to talk a little bit about that. I think God impressed on her that there was a plan, there was a path. And many of you wrote scripture to us in your letters. We're thankful. Philina was counting up. We have over 240 cards that you sent us. And boy, those spoke to us in a mighty way. And some of you sent us gifts, and we're thankful for that. That was God working. And so, honey, could you carry
turn
take
this
on
over
here?
Oh, dear. Well, I think from my perspective, this may seem like a simple thing, but from the beginning of it, I'm not one. He usually drives the car from here to there, wherever.
Yeah. She doesn't drive very well. I mean,
and as many
there
of
was
you,
a reason she rolled that car. I was not driving.
and honestly, that. Of course, everybody knows about that, but that was a blessing that God spared my life in that accident, which was the very end of February, and then I was driving his Subaru, which I might mention hadn't been driven since we went to Pittsburgh, and now it sits in the garage with a leak in the brake line. So there you go. It was just about ready to happen again. So I'm just thankful, you know, that he took me back and forth. And during that time, driving, though, I had a lot of time to pray. I had a lot of time to think about, obviously, what you all meant to us and how hard it was just to, like, dump it all in your lap. That is not my nature. I like to bring people alongside, maybe share a few things, and then maybe incorporate them in some area of ministry. So that was really, really hard, and I would take stuff up to the hospital to work on, you know, to try to get my act together and organize things that needed to be done. But he was very quiet at times, and I was always wondering what was going on in his brain, because he's like most men, you know, you're probably very introspective, and you don't want to cause your wife to worry or think that you don't have it all together or whatever. But I knew he didn't have it all together, because at the end, right before they came to say they had room for him at Pittsburgh just to assess him, that was a moment of relief, because we knew they were kind of at the end of their rope in Syracuse. But God impressed on me right from the beginning, and I don't, the verse itself, I mean, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is very plain to everybody. But the four aspects of that, and trusting, and No matter how you're trusting, you are still tempted always to back up on your own, you know, strength and try to do things. And so that verse meant so much to me. And then in the background, I would hear, "This is the way, walk ye in it," you know, and just a constant reminder. And then don't I get a card in the mail? Not knowing, because I knew this song from working at OBC, "The Lord Knows the Way Through the Wilderness," and Robin had sent me the words, and because I didn't know that the second verse where it says, "Strength for today is mine always, and all that I need for tomorrow," and then reiterating, "My Lord knows the way." He knows the way, and he has a way for him and a way for us, and we need to follow in it. It may not be, the end may not be, you know, our expectation, but we need to be willing. And then I also thought in the trusting part that I needed to learn to accept, and you women, probably most of you, can identify with the fact that we sometimes struggle with being flexible or accepting the way things are happening, because we may be organizers or have, you know, in our homes. And so I had to accept. That was a part of trust. And so that meant a great deal to me. And just knowing that his way was perfect, okay, and I could trust him. And then reiterating, "Lean not unto thine own understanding." Now, I realized that I had actually gotten, so I'd write, every time a doctor came in, I wrote everything down, their name, their, whatever they were saying. And I'm going to have to blow my nose, sorry, excuse me.
You want me to take it?
Well, let me just finish this one. Okay. And then, anyway, this is going to be way too long. I'll have to get the ladies. But anyway, that during that time, I just recognized that, you know, they don't know everything. And sometimes there were three teams, and this is one of the most frustrating things. A medicine team, and then a specialist team from nephrology for the kidney, a specialty team from urology, there was a specialty for the GI. But they don't always get together. Now, in Pittsburgh, once a week, they all get together. And that was totally what made this happen. I have no doubt in my mind. They have it set out so they can key off of each other's strengths. But only to say that in this, that the rest of that verse, "in all thy ways." Okay, so he was then going back to my ways. That I had to acknowledge him. I had to lift him up. I had to show him to the world in whatever way, whatever we were going through. And a lot of people, his family, we love him dearly, but we felt a little pressure there to go one direction, and maybe we should go to Strong Memorial. And you're kind of overwhelmed by it all, and yet you've got to get your ducks in a row in 2 days, and you've got to set this appointment up, and yet I wanted to be at the hospital, and so I won't be there till 12:30, and so anyway, that process, I had to just ask God to teach me much in that time, and he just gives it to you. I honestly wasn't worried so much about whether he was going to live or die.
You weren't?
Because it didn't matter what I thought. God was going to have his way. And I know that he will be glorified in life and death. I mean, I know the scriptures of Philippians, and I know that's what Paul wanted. So you have to come to that reality of that. And then to say, if I acknowledge him, you know, in all my ways, that he will direct your paths. The way, the path, right down to the steps. And I'll leave it right there.
I wasn't sure a couple times whether finally I was going to follow or not. You know, we had been told that we were going to have an airplane trip right down to Pittsburgh. And, you know, my view of an airplane, it would probably be a Learjet, and I would be in a nice bed, and finally would be right there next to me holding my hand. And
with a package of almonds, you know, like, and a ginger ale.
Right, it'd be like we're going on our honeymoon. That was kind of my picture. Well, we had a three-prop plane, and I had to crawl in the back of that thing. I could hardly get in there, and Filena was standing there on the runway, and she kind of looked and said, I don't know about this. You might go by yourself on this one. And they got in there, and they handed us earplugs. And, of course, because I had mowed the lawn, I'd use earplugs. She'd never used an earplug in her life. And she's trying to get that thing in there, and she never did. You know, we couldn't talk. You couldn't hear yourself think in this. But it was only an hour.
And no bathroom.
Nope. If I'd had a problem, I had a guy there to take care of me, but he couldn't have gotten to me. I was packed back in the back there, stuffed in the... Well, anyway, we made it. We're thankful. Within an hour, we were there in Pittsburgh, and it was a good trip. So we're thankful for God's provision in our life. yes, deliverance involves pain, and it really... involves God's plan. God meant it for good. You remember Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to what? Those that love God. Those that are what?
Called according to his
purpose. And so we realize that God's purposes are sometimes, his ways are higher than our ways. And we don't understand all. And so I'm thankful for that, God's plan here. And a verse that was a favorite, Robin was our verse lady. She sent verses to us almost daily. But this is a verse that Jason had brought to me when he visited. He wrote it on the wall in my room. But now this is what the Lord... this is Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. And he put my name in for O Jacob, Charles. So it was this. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Charles. And he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. What a precious verse that was. And I read that many times while I was laying in the bed. God has a plan, and we're His, and He directs us where He will. Yes, deliverance involves pain, and involves God's plan, and it also involves much prayer. And that's where you came in. I felt the prayers of God's people. I felt James 5:16. You're familiar with that verse? Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be what?
Healed.
Healing. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what?
Avails
much. And to be put on the list was a wonderful thing, as I said there in the video. But 2 days... That's hardly, you hardly get your request in 2 days, right? God was moving. In fact, He'd moved long before I needed it. This family that donated this liver, they had already done that before I had the need, I'm sure. And I have to write a letter to them, be praying for that. I want to do it, but it's very difficult. What to say? Words just don't suffice in those times, but prayer, God's people praying, and
could I just interject one thing there?
Yes.
We still don't know. Our daughter Rebecca had gotten a call from somebody in her church that wanted to donate a liver to him, because you can do that, but you can't donate it unless you are on a list from a hospital. And we still don't know. It could have even been that person. It was just totally miraculous, because when I had to talk to the transplant coordinator, we didn't know that he was on the list, but we knew we needed a number. And she said, oh, he put you on the list last night. And we didn't know it yet. It was just, those were very exciting. Yet I found myself having to almost temper my excitement, enthusiasm, which I don't like to do. I mean, I was very excited, but I know, even in the midst of things that are going on like that, I still wanted to recognize that, God, you're in charge here. Just keep me on an even keel. So.
Well, we heard from all over the country that people were praying for me. And that's very prayer. I tell you, when you're prayed for like that, it's very rarefied company that you're in. And I so much appreciate God's people and God's community of believers. I had a lady call me just this past week. Her sister-in-law is down at Mount Sinai Hospital, and she needs a liver, but she has an infection, and they will not transplant a liver while you have an infection. I had an infection, and a lot of the hospitals would not even take me. Rochester wouldn't take me because they'd heard that I'd had an infection. And so the VA were the only ones. Praise God for veterans. I'm thankful for our military and for our government. Basically, they have put the bill on that, and it's thousands of dollars, folks. I tell you, it's over $100,000 for what I had treatment, maybe even a couple hundred. It's just amazing. But God's people prayed, and within 2 days, can you believe it? 2 days. Takes about 350 average for people to get a liver, and I got it in 2 days. That's God working, and I'm thankful for him in that. Deliverance not only involves pain and prayer and a plan, but it also involves people. Involves family. how much we appreciated our families. Our children came and visited. That caught me off guard.
Neither one of us anticipated the support we would get from our children, because we knew they were involved in ministry. They had their own families. And they just, especially, of course, Jason was there at many of the high points, but Angela and Cliff had to stay back, and that was very difficult, for Angela. She seemed to handle it because she didn't want to get me uptight either, but I was just as concerned for her. And I just felt like that was such a special time. I could see his whole, especially with the kids singing and just laughing, that scripture that says, the laughter, or I can't even think of the it's the best medicine, or not the best medicine.
It is.
But I know the scripture. It just, you could see that in him. It just breathed life into him, even though he was in quite a bit of pain. So.
I appreciated so much, especially my boys coming and praying over me. And it was a wonderful time. Normally, you're the one that's praying, And God brought it back to me through my children. And so, parents, young families, raise up your children the way that God would have them to go. They will come back and call you blessed. They will. And you will be blessed by your children when you get old and decrepit like we are, okay? So prayer is so important. And people are so important. I think of the many doctors and nurses, and I think of Karen, our liver transplant coordinator. She really was the one that, down in Syracuse, saw my need, saw how sick I was becoming, and knew that they could not help us there in Syracuse. And so she began to order all these tests, and she had me all ready to go. And finally, she came one night, and she said, "Now, Chuck, you need to be so careful here. Don't be careful where you walk, how you walk, because if you fall and break your leg, you're done. You're going to be off the list. You'll never get to Pittsburgh. You're going to be done." And I thought she was just trying to get in my head. But as I saw God's plan and I saw this, it was true. I had one shot. Of course, God knew that it wasn't just one. He was in the control of it. But it was key. And then, of course, the many doctors and nurses that ministered to us. Of course, that surgeon, he was quite a bird. I have to say he was a bird, okay? The first time we met the doctor...
he came in, yeah. And literally...
He's not married. I can tell why he's not married.
I'd love to show you. He comes in the door. "Okay, well, tell me a few things." And he's back and forth. And his hair is all disheveled. And it's like, could you just stop in one place a minute so we can look at you? But he was very sharp.
He said, "Mr. Holdridge, you're going to have to be a part of this. I can't do it all myself. You're going to have to get up and walk. You're going to have to exercise. You're going to have to take responsibility." I go, "Sure, yes, I will." And then he went down the hall and he tore into the next guy. I mean, wow. You know, you say, man, this is a little
different.
But he
did apologize. He did. Not to him, but that other guy, because...
But he did not have too many social skills, this guy, okay? But he did know how to do liver transplants, okay? That's what you hire him for. And he was precious. And then, of course,
he did get involved when he found out Jason had given his kidney to Angela. And then he met Jason in the hall one day, which is almost uncalled for. He actually turned around and came back to him just to talk to him a little bit. So, you know, we were getting to know him.
Yeah, he used to do kidney transplants before he did liver transplants. So he knew quite a lot about the kidney. And so he was quite... But we got to know him later on in our clinics and drew close to him. And then, of course, there were the chaplains. I thought chaplains were kind of just, you know, the extra there. You know, if you need them, yeah. If you don't, you don't. You know, some of them don't even believe. You know, so but I tell you, God sent us some wonderful chaplains. We went to a Good Friday service down in Pittsburgh, and boy, God spoke to us, and I needed help, and. You know, when you're used to going to church every Sunday and every Wednesday, and you're there all the time, it just becomes natural. But for about 3 months, I never went to church. Didn't have a family, church family, and I missed it so much. I realized that God's community is so important. And I don't know how people stand it, not being in church, because I missed it terribly. And, I just cried the first time we went to church after I got out of the hospital. And it was a wonderful thing. And so you need to appreciate this group, this community, this called out assembly that God has brought to you. And get involved. Be a part. This is God's way. God involves people in your deliverance. God involves Christians. We met so many different Christians on this road. My brother's wife's family, he's a pastor down in Pennsylvania. John and Anita, they came and visited us. And intensive care. Jack and Nancy, Jack got a transplant, and we ministered them. I think of some of the roommates that I had. I think of Ron and Doris coming and visiting us, and Kristen Tyson. Do you know Kristen?
And Rich and Nancy.
Rich and Nancy. God said, how many know the O'Brien girl? She's married.
Jolie.
She lives down near Pittsburgh, and so she came and visited us with her little children. And Wayne Hobbs. How many know Wayne Hobbs? He came and visited us. And so God just brought Christians to minister to our needs, and I'm so thankful for that. Deliverance involves a provider. Notice Joseph said, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. Have the peace of God. I will provide for you. God provided a liver. It's right there. It's numb. I can't even feel that now. But I tell you, that bile, you know, you don't think, usually bile is bitter, right? I tell you, bile is the most precious thing. And when that nurse came and would empty, I had a little sack right here. You know, bile sack. It's a wonderful thing to be carrying bile around. Extra, you know, they would dump it. She says, oh boy, that liver is just working good. You don't even know it's working today. Producing bile that you might be able to eat all that fatty stuff that you love. Cheese. My wife here this past week, her sister came down, Melanie, and she brought cheese and the salad. She brought pizza, so we had more cheese. We had apple pie and cheese, and then that night she fixed me toasted cheese sandwich. You know something? I got sicker than a dog on cheese because my liver quite can't handle that cheesy stuff. Oh, but I'm getting better. I'm getting better. I'm thankful I can at least taste it. It's a wonderful thing. And so God provides love. He comforted them and spoke kindly to them. And the number of people that loved us, they gave us a place to stay. I think of the place where Philina stayed while I was in the hospital. Why don't you tell them a little bit about that?
It was just a family house where they have 40-some rooms in it. On four floors, and then they have the basement where they have two kitchens, and Doris and Ron got to see it. But it was very, very homey, cozy. There was a piano in there, but I didn't have any music. I did play one piece, Jesus Loves Me, on there. But everybody was so friendly, and in that process, though, too, because I had to ride the shuttle, I had to be on the bus for about 45 minutes in the morning, and then just for a few minutes at night, because the VA was that close to us, but you had to go to all the hospitals. There are so many hospitals in Pittsburgh. They're very specialized. But anyway, the people I met there, like a 28-year-old boy that had gone through the bone marrow transplant. He had to basically stay in the house there for 90 days. I mean, another lady I met from Italy that had been waiting over 130 days for a double lung transplant, not at the VA hospital, but at one of these other hospitals. And her husband and her, he was just as cheery. You'd have thought nothing was happening. He just got his license for being here in the States, and they were just waiting patiently, you know, for this liver, for the lungs, and then another person that needed a heart, and then one that was fully recovered, about ready to go home from a double lung transplant. It's just so amazing. And some that had kidney transplants that weren't working out as well as others had been back a couple times. But just a very resilient, and not all Christians, but a lot of them in the conversation, you would hear that. And so it was just very uplifting and friendly and safe. For me, it was the place for me when I was alone. And even though I was alone, I did feel your presence there, because I would open the cards and
And actually even reread some of the ones from the retirement party. And it was just such a amazing sense of peace. And even when I remember going through, well, of course, Psalm 37 is very special to me anyway, but that one talks about committing, you know, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord is in there. And then it also has the one, commit thy, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. But commit thy way. Once again, it just kept coming up way, way, way all the time, or path. And committing that to his keeping. And then in verse 7, rest in the Lord. And Sandy had sent, of course, we all know Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. He was exalted in Pittsburgh. Unbelievably so.
I wondered, can any good thing come out of Pittsburgh? Because it seems like Pittsburgh's always playing Syracuse and beating them. They were the enemy. But you know, when you're going to Pittsburgh to get a liver, that becomes pretty important.
And it's a beautiful city.
A beautiful city. And I have such a wonderful, I think, respect, and it's a wonderful place, Pittsburgh, now. But it's amazing. God is the Jehovah Jireh, the provider. God will provide a lamb. It's what Abraham told his son. And God provided a liver for me. And I'm thankful for that. God is a mighty provider. And he provided for Philina's needs when I couldn't. And they would take her all over the city, so much that she thought she knew the city so well, because the bus driver had told her all about every area. You know, he was kind of the tour guide. And so when I got out of the hospital, she says, honey, let's go on a tour of Pittsburgh. And you know what she did?
Oakland, it wasn't.
Oakland, but it's Pittsburgh. And you know what she did? She got lost. But we had to go see these big columns.
Yeah, where Batman was filmed.
Where Batman. I said, what? I care about Batman, you know?
And huge down in Pittsburgh. The thing is, all my kids have GPSs, or they have these smartphones, okay, whatever you call them. Anyway, and which that brings up another story, which there's never-ending stories. But anyway, that's the way we got around.
The problem was our kids weren't with us when she was taking me on a little trip. But
I did know a few of the, like there's a one-way street, Forbes, and there's another one.
But she's not a tour guide and a
Bigelow
driver at the same time.
No, and my kids said, you're going to...
She would be in the wrong lane, and I almost died down there because of the drive. I mean, I have a new liver, and she kills me right now. So,
oh, dear. I said, I do know the way. I've been there, at least done this once, right?
We got directions this one time to go somewhere, and she pulls out of the hotel, and turns the wrong way. And what better direction when you make the first wrong turn? You're done. Stick a fork in you. You're done right there.
But so, the problem was that we didn't have a printer or anything in our computer. You know, we couldn't run off stuff on there. But
she had half of one direction.
Half of one direction.
We went from those directions.
And with the second direction.
We were messed up. Let me tell you. We were messed up. But
terrible.
We're back here. Isn't that great? We found our way back. But God did provide so much for us. He provided a sacrifice for me, a donor, a young lady who had a stroke.
39 years.
She was 39 years old, and her family donated her organs. In fact, I had to wait. I was third in line because they transplanted her heart, they transplanted her lungs, and they kept her alive while they were doing that. And finally, they transplanted her liver, and then they transplanted her kidneys. And if you haven't signed up to be a donor, you know, what good are your organs after you're dead? They just bury him with you. You might as well. I mean, I'm thankful today. I'm here today because somebody cared about somebody else. And some people are fearful that somebody's going to come knock them over the head and steal their organs, so they won't sign up. But don't feel that way. Give yourself to others. That's the gift that keeps on giving. Today I'm alive because somebody gave. And I'm thankful for that. The sacrifice, of course, it reminds me of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, what? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so I daily think about this lady that gave her life for me, and I think about my Savior that gave his life for me also. And I had to trust. I had to trust the doctors. I had to trust that maniac surgeon that I had to make the right cuts. And someday, men, when we're alone, I'll show you my mark. It's just not appropriate for the ladies. There is a mark of all liver transplants. It's a
Mercedes.
A Mercedes mark, you know. And there it is. And the liver is the largest organ in the body. And they had to bend my ribs to get it back up in there. Let me tell you, I had sore ribs for a long time. But I'm thankful I've got a liver. And I had to trust the surgeons and the nurses. And, of course, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, what does it say?
That's the one I just quoted.
Oh.
Trust in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. There were times when I would say, you know, I don't really think, I don't think I better do that. But then I'd say, you know, I've got to trust them. They know better than I know. And it's, for any of you that have been in an operation, that's a scary time. The night before my operation, I didn't sleep a wink. And I struggled with some things, and boy, I tell you, it's life and death right there. And I remember, as I said, getting on the operation table, and they take your clothes right off of you. You're naked on the operation table. And they put one arm out here and strap it down, and one arm out here and strap it down. I said, this is like crucifixion. And that's the last thing I remember talking to the nurse. I was done. Well, how thankful I am for God's provision in my life. And it's a wonderful thing. Well, we've been through quite an experience, let me tell you. I wish that we could have taken you along and you could have experienced some things that we did. But God was growing us. Evidently, we had some more things to learn. You know, there's always something to learn. And I guess this church had some things to learn, right? And I'm thankful that God has ushered in a new era here, a new pastor. I'm a new pastor with a new liver, but I don't have a job right now. I'm unemployed. I'm retired. I don't really like being retired. You know that? It's to me, it's kind of a step down, but actually it's kind of fun to watch others work, you know, go to work. Right, Jim? That's right. And he's looking forward to going out to Wisconsin and just having those grandkids. I tell you, it's wonderful to have grandkids with pink eye. You know, that's going to be... I often think about, here I am. I have really my... I'm susceptible to all the sickness, and I have these little carriers running into me every morning. Oh, Grandpa! You know, spend all, you know... How am I going to live? Yeah, God's going to provide for me. You know, God will take care of me. And I try to push them back when I can, but you can't push little ones back. They want to jump right here on my stomach. That's where they want to sit.
They want to see everything.
They want to see everything. Yeah, every morning, Grandpa, can we see your boo-boo? I've seen you said it. You've seen it 15 times. We want to see it again. And then Philina has to do a dressing. I have a T-tube here that I'll have to get changed in August. They're going to take care of it. But she has to dress that every day. And so they have to come in and watch the nurse dress that, you know. Oh, Grandpa, that's a big boo-boo. I know. Well, so life goes on, doesn't it? God is still delivering us. He is the great deliverer. And he will deliver you. If you don't know Christ as your Savior tonight, you need the great deliverer. You need the one that died that you might live. Someone had to die that I could live today. And what a great sacrifice that is. And I'm thankful for his great deliverance tonight. That God has preserved a posterity for me and saved my life by a great deliverance. And you were part of it. Isn't that great? You prayed. And you maybe wept a little bit, cried. And God heard. God answered. And I'm here. Philina and I are here today, and we want to praise him. I promised God that I would praise him every time I got a chance. And God has given me chances. Let me tell you. One thing about deliverance, it gives you a great platform. People call you up and say, my daughter or my sister-in-law, they're having problems with the transplant, or they need a liver, and could you just speak to me? Encourage me. I need to call a fellow whose wife is down at Mount Sinai. Her name is Kathy. You might pray for her. She needs a liver worse than bad, but she has an infection, like I told you. But he doesn't know the Lord, this young man. But when he heard that I received a liver and that I was only 6 weeks ago, it gave him hope. So I need to call him. Pray for him that he might be saved by the great deliverer. Why don't we close with prayer tonight? I'm thankful that you're here. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these dear folk. God, so many that sent cards and prayed for us and gave for us. And Lord, it's because of your grace and your mercy tonight that I'm here. And that Philina is here. And Lord, I thank you for my wife, Philina, and her support. God, there are many that cannot get liver transplant because they have no one to support them, to help them. I'm so thankful that she was there to help me and for my family that came and supported us. And Lord, we're an encouragement. Lord, how we need to speak kindly and to encourage others in life's road. Lord, I ask that you'd bless tonight this church and help them be a testimony. Thank you for their great support of Philina and I through this great deliverance. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.